Isaiah is delivering a prophecy from God, speaking to the Israelites at that time. And this idea of singing a new song, which is about fresh ways of engaging with God, fresh ways of engaging with the world, and how we can hear these new ideas and implement them, I think it's really, really important to us at this time, with the state that our world's in, with a lot of things, heading into new and uncertain spaces. When I was first thinking and meditating on this passage, the new build was something that kind of came to my mind when I was thinking about our response. I think the new build and those hoops that we're slowly jumping through as that vision is turning into a reality highlights something that this passage brings up, which is that nothing in the kingdom of God is static. Things are always on the move. Things are always changing. And new stuff is always coming to the surface. And that exciting, adventurous journey of doing life in relationship with God is something that is really greatly embodied, I think, through that vision and through that reality that is slowly happening for us. So that's something we can be encouraged about, I think. Before launching right into the passage, I think it's really crucial that we spend a little bit of time thinking about the context of Isaiah and kind of where it was coming from and the place of society that it was speaking into. Over the past couple of months, we've had a sermon series looking at the post-resurrection encounters of Jesus. We've talked about Pentecost and a lot of exciting stuff that happened around towards the end of Jesus's life. And this time we're launching back a couple of hundred years into the middle of the Old Testament, into a part of the Old Testament which talks about the prophets and the messages that they brought. The prophets were a collection of people that came from across Israelite society, and their role was to speak truth to power and to speak God's voice to the Israelite people when they had wandered off track. If you've read much of the Old Testament, you'll know that the Israelites were specialists in wandering off track, so the prophets were pretty busy. They had a lot to do. And this particular one, Isaiah, lived about 400 years before Christ, and he speaks into a reality where the Israelites really needed to hear some of that of God's truth. For Isaiah, as it was true for a lot of the prophets, speaking truth to power and speaking uncomfortable challenges to people was a very risky business. A lot of them lost their lives, they were disrespected, but it was that valiant, truthful exercise that was so important throughout those hundreds of years in the lead up to Jesus coming that helped keep the Israelite people in tune with God and helped keep them attuned to his voice. Isaiah is fulfilling that prophetic role here when he's talking to the Israelites about their failure to properly listen and to properly hear God. That voice calling the people back to God and reminding them of who he is and what he calls them into is so, so critical. And I think we need to be, just as Isaiah was, listening very closely and listening very prophetically to what God is saying and what he is calling us into at this moment. As we think about this idea of singing a new song, of stepping into a new way of being, of proclaiming God in new ways, as a church, I think we need to have our ears to the ground in a prophetic sense, to be seeing how we can be bringing God into the community, bringing God back to the community in this current time. When we think about this new way or how God wants to use us now, I think it's really important to be thinking about the current space that we find the world in and that Christianity finds itself in context with the world. I think that's really crucial. If we look back through the prophets, they were all very in sync with the culture of the day and what was going wrong and speaking God's truth into that place. Our world at the moment, obviously, is just reeling from the COVID epidemic as we kind of life gets back to normal here, still struggling in other places. As we're slowly moving out of that, we're moving into another horror, which is an uncertain and difficult economic predicament. And in amongst all of that COVID situation, we've just had a big rise, which started in the United States and has spread here, of some questions about racial injustice, questions about colonialism, questions about how we look at our past and what that means for our future. And we see as well in New Zealand too, that examination is starting to take place of what does it mean to be from this place and what does it mean to live here now going forward. These are very, very important questions as we wrestle with all the stuff around the epidemic as well, all to be happening at once. In these unprecedented times of difficult social turmoil, that prophetic voice becomes more important than ever to be attuned to what God is saying to us in this time. I wonder what a prophet like Isaiah would be saying in this type of reality. And amongst all of this chaos, the most kind of airtime or the biggest presence faith gets in the mainstream dialogue is some inflammatory comment on page 3 of the Herald from Brian Tamaki, which is so, so far from any sort of authentic gospel that we know we need to be sharing, that is so hopeful. To be seeing that as a reality is just sad. And it means that as a result, often church and faith has to spend a lot of its time defending itself from that sort of thing, and we're defining ourselves more by making sure that we're not associated with that sort of stuff than stepping forward in confidence and boldness into what God has for us ahead. Church throughout history is at its absolute best when it is listening to God and offering leadership to culture. If you think through history, there's so many examples, powerful examples, where the church has been at the forefront of guiding people through these sort of tumultuous times, like the times we're currently facing. If you think back a couple of hundred years, where Samuel Marsden and the Church Mission Society in New Zealand were so crucial in helping bring peace and stability and hope to a New Zealand Aotearoa that was pretty ravaged by tension and violence between Māori and European settlers. A couple of hundred years before that in Europe, you can find people like Francis of Assisi that provided fresh, exciting, and real gospel invitations as Europe became increasingly secular and increasingly greed-driven. We as a church need to work out what God is calling us into and how we can be part of that, part of his prophetic vision for this place in this current moment. Towards the end of the passage, there's a lot of talk about idolatry, where Isaiah is calling the people of God, the Israelites, to be stepping out of their blindness and stepping out of their deafness. And we see lines such as, "You see and recognize what is right, but you refuse to act on it." And another one, "You hear with your ears, but you don't really listen." Isaiah is coming down pretty hard on Israel. And I don't think those words are just relevant for the Israelites at that time. I think they're getting more and more relevant as our time goes on as well. In our current age, there's so much technology, there's so much information out there. We're more accessible to the world than we've ever been. Yet there's just as much apathy towards some of the issues and the realities of what's happening now. You'd think that after the first prophet and the first kind of hard-hitting messages on idolatry, that the Israelites would have got the message and changed their ways and kind of stuck to that. It was kind of like a one-time, got it kind of thing. But the reality is, with idolatry, it doesn't really work like that. Every generation needs a fresh prophetic voice, a fresh reminder of where God is and how we can turn ourselves better to become aligned with him. I think idolatry is something that is very easy to slip into. Often it's a lot more subtly at work in our lives than we can imagine. Idolatry is kind of defined really as anything that takes the place of God, that isn't God. And I think, as I said, operates in complex ways amongst us. I was just thinking back a couple of years ago when I was a teenager, I went to a youth camp and we had to do evangelism, street evangelism in pairs. And my best mate was there and we got pretty excited about the whole thing. And we came up with all these cool things we were going to say and exciting stories we were going to tell. And our kind of hope and our aim behind it was to try and get the most outrageous moments with random people that we could get so we could come back and share all our gory stories. And the reality was that we'd missed the whole point, that it was actually all about Jesus. And the point behind that little anecdote was that even in amongst our religious practice and in amongst our faith, we can lose sight of Jesus from time to time. It's really important that we continually remind ourselves of where he is. A famous scholar and theologian from the 13th century called Meister Eckhart had this famous prayer, and his simple prayer was this: "God, rid me of God." And what he recognized in that little prayer was that how even our own wrong ideas of God and our misunderstandings of who God is can get in the way sometimes of us truly connecting with him and engaging with that prophetic voice. The posture of our hearts needs to be constantly turned towards God, to be always focused on that relationship, connecting with his heart and his vision for us in our cultural moment at this current time. Something that stood out to me while reading that passage was how boldly Isaiah proclaimed the prophetic statements that he made. The idea of any sort of bold proclamation of faith or of anything really, I don't think sits super well for us and doesn't sit super well in our culture. I think we prefer an approach of being a bit more quiet. We like being polite and we like only sharing when we're asked something. And I think this call from Isaiah to sing a new song requires a little bit more boldness, a little bit more proclamation and courage than just that. Recently, I was at a youth event where I was a youth leader there. And one of the exercises we had the teenagers do was they had to identify some of the gifts God had given them and thinking about what they were good at and some things that they could then offer the world out of it. What did God want to do through them? And what struck me about that exercise was recognizing how hard it was for people to identify those sort of things. So few of them were actually able to think about what were the things they were good at that God had given them. And I think that's a result of what we have in New Zealand called tall poppy culture, where we don't really like to talk about things we're good at, we don't really like to boast, and I think sometimes that can get in the way of us sharing the good news, because that's exactly what we have to do in the midst of cultural angst, is proclaim what we do have, which is good news in Jesus. The great truth, though, is that in amongst all of this challenge, we do have a God that is walking alongside us in the journey. Towards the end of the passage, there's this promise from God that I will brighten the darkness before you. And we can take great comfort from that, that even though there is uncertainty ahead and even though there is great challenge before us, there is a promise that's made here and that's made throughout Scripture that God's guiding hand will always be with us as we step out. In a minute, we're going to have some silence and then a reflective song. And some confession as well, but as I wrap up, let's just pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you do brighten the darkness before us as we are in these uncertain cultural times, Lord, with a lot of confusion and a lot of suffering and a lot of change in amongst us. We pray that you would use us, help us connect back with you, give us prophetic vision, give us insight, and may we be your hands and feet in this world. Amen.